Hi, it's Charlotte Broughton. You're listening to the Quick Link podcast.
Hello and welcome to Quick Link podcast show 495 for Tuesday the 10th of May. It's your daily microdose of pro cycling news. Two UCI road races today, plus domestic crit action with the Tour Series. And we'll also catch up with some news from Sunday, where I wasn't able to record my segments. Happy birthday today to EF Education EasyPost new signing Sean Quinn, to four-time Grand Tour stage winner Tim Wellens of Lotto Soudal, and to Alex Payton, formerly of Tim Elvison's Canyon Continental team. Today they turn a combined age of 85. Some transfer rumours of one in, one out at Ineos Grenadiers next year. Roubaix winner Dylan Van Baarle looks like he's off to Jumbo-Visma, while coming into the British squad is Tiemann Arendsman from DSM. Anyway, straight to today's action, and we'll start with the first of a pair of Spanish one-day races ahead of Itzulia Femenas, which begins on Friday, to Navarra, which is between Bilbao and the French border, for the second edition of Emakumeen Nafarroako Women's Elite Classic, which was won last year by Annemiek van Vleuten. 137.6 kilometres for 113 riders today, with World Tour teams in attendance in Movistar, Bike Exchange, UAE, EF, Roland Cogeas, Live Racing and HP Health. From the start in Irutzun, they headed south for a 40k circuit over climbs at Koni and Altzuren, back to the finishing line, then heading north out of town for a larger 95k loop. With six climbs, they go over Zuarate from either direction at the bookends to that circuit. Mackie Colley of Massey Tactic went clear early on over the first climb of the day, going almost a minute up the road as Georgia Williams of Bike Exchange tried to bridge across in vain. Sarah Martin of Movistar did eventually make it across to the lone leader, and come the halfway point of the stage, the pair were joined by Urska Ziegart of Bike Exchange. First Martin, then Ziegart tried to drop their companions as a chase group was establishing themselves some 2 minutes behind the lead trio. Come the sixth of eight climbs, some 95k in, Ziegart had gone again, and she now had Nadine Gill of Serpela for company, and moving across shortly after were Sarah Gigante of Movistar, Kristen Faulkner of Bike Exchange, Mavi Garcia of UAE, and Veronica Ewers of EF as the World Tour teams flexed their muscle. Into the penultimate climb of Berute and Gigante pulled the pin. She was gone. A one-minute advantage was quickly established from about 35k out, with Ziegart leading the chase, the Slovenian being hotly pursued by Faulkner, Garcia, Ewers, and crucially for Gigante, her Movistar teammate Paula Patino. But Gigante was gone. The gap was 1 minute 15 over the final climb, and down the other side she doubled that on a 10k flat run into the line. So a first win for Sarah Gigante of Movistar outside of the Australian National Championships. Veronica Ewers of EF taking second in a three-up sprint with Paula Patino of Movistar, fourth for Kristen Faulkner of EF, Mavi Garcia a distant fifth. Then coming home in ones and twos, the top 10 completed in order by Anne Santesteban, Christabel Dober-Hycock, Ziegart, Ruby Rosengannon and Catherine Hammers. To nearby Pamplona tomorrow for Navarra Women's Elite Classic. Arlena Sierra won that last year. And then the three-day Itzulia Women's Race begins on Friday at World Tour level. And so to today's action at Giro d'Italia, and we head to Sicily after 3 days in Hungary, and of course a travel day yesterday. Mathieu van der Poel, the Maglia Rossa, Simon Yates at 11, Tom Dumoulin at 16, Rick Zabel, King of the Mountains, Binyam Girmay borrowing van der Poel's points jersey, Matteo Sobrero, the best young rider, he started the day 4th on GC at 24 seconds. 172 kilometres today, rolling out from Avola on the southeastern point of the island, heading inland and north over the unclassified 9k long 4.5% climb at Bucheri, and then on to the first summit finish of this year's Giro at Mount Etna. 23.3 kilometres long, averaging 6% to complete the stage. Now, it was an explosive start, so let's drop in with some of the gang as they discuss the opening exchanges.
Yay!
Hello, possums. You're joining us for the Dame Etna Everage stage, as I call it. They're going up to Mount Etna. And it was an easy joke for me to make that I hope translate probably doesn't. How are you doing, Mathieu?
I'm good, thank you. First mountain stage of the Giro.
Yeah, it's been exciting. Like, people have wanted to go in the break, and Drone Hopper haven't just floated off the front like last time. Bit exciting, really, isn't it? What's been your impression of the stage so far? Because obviously we're only partway through. I think I left it with about 140k to go or so. So yeah, what are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, that's it. 140k to go. Yeah, it seems that the rider were pretty excited after a rest day to get in the breakaway. So I don't know, 14 of them, right? If I'm not mistaken, on the front at the moment, with the almost 10-minute gap over the peloton. So
most of the teams... they've dropped anchor, haven't they? They've just gone. Yeah. Yep, we are not bothering.
Not today. And almost 10 minutes. And most of the teams that were interested in the win today have a rider in the breakaway. So that's cool. We have a lot of teams in front. Even Jumbo Visma has a rider in front. So only I think Ineos doesn't have a rider in front. Trying to look at the team, the riders in front at the moment.
I don't think there was, I didn't catch any duplicate riders, two riders from the same team.
I think only Cofidis has two riders, Videla and Rémy Rochas, but...
Of course. So, there's fair representation in there. And obviously, that drama with Lilian Calmejean, could he make it? Could he not? I don't know.
Well, getting angry at Moto for succeeding in going on the breakaway, but he succeeded, so that's nice for him.
Hey guys.
Hey Lena.
What? I have to ask, I just put it on, and what exactly happened with Lopez?
You go ahead, Peter.
Genuinely, the last I heard, I stopped watching just before getting online to record. So I just heard that he'd stopped. That was it.
Apparently, the last bombshell of the Giro is that Miguel Angel Lopez has abandoned the Giro. So we're waiting on confirmation from the Giro itself. But after the fall and the early part of the stage,
I hear the fall. Like,
I
didn't. I just came home. I didn't see anything else about the stage. Oh, then probably injury.
Possibly, or he's flown back to planet Krypton, being Superman and all. It's quite shocking, isn't it? Obviously, we saw similar in when he just stopped during the Vuelta.
Yeah, but that was something else. I mean, that was oh god. But if he's injured, I mean, that's a different thing.
Mm.
I had him in second, I think. Oh, in third.
Yeah, we saw some riders needing medical assistance. We saw Lorenzo Fortunato. We saw Simon Yates at the medical car. So, yeah. The
fall, Yates.
Yeah, Simon Yates, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, him of... his many opinions on what's going to happen. All of them being, I don't know, really. That was the long and short of his mini sort of press conference when he got asked by journalists, like, what's going to happen today? It's like, not a clue. We'll see what happens. It'll be decided on the road. Like, literally, just synonyms. I'm quite happy. I have not got Lopez in my... predictions, or in my Vela Games team.
I have Yates and Lopez.
I have Lopez in both Vela Games and the predicting games. So yeah, but the team Asna says that Miguel Angel Lopez is out of the Giro, and team says it's a hip injury.
Ooh, those are nasty, really nasty.
Yeah,
so early. That's a shame, because Astana was targeting Giro with a strong team around Lopez, I think. But new change of plans.
Yeah. Do we reckon, because that's a sizable break and a long lead, but there's a huge climb at the end. What are our thoughts now we've seen the breakaway established and seen who's in it? Will it make it to the end?
I have no idea actually who's in it, so if you could tell me.
So the breakaway is composed of Eric Vetter from Iolo Cometa, Gijs Lemreise from Jumbo Visma, Mauri van Sevenand from Quickstep, Diego Andres Camargo from IF, Sylvain Moniquet from Lotto, Stefan Oldani from Alpecin, Juan Pedro Lopez from Trek, Leonard Kamna from Barrandro, Remy Rochas and Davide Villela from Cofidis, Alexander Cataford from Israel Startup Nation, Valeria Conti from Astana, Lilian Calmejean from AG2R, and Rain Taramay from Intermarché Wanty-Gobert.
I chose the wrong Intermarché rider. I was deciding between Taramay and Hirt, and I chose Hirt. Shit. But Kemner, with that time, he can definitely make it. I didn't think they would let him go with only 2 minutes.
Well, there's some who are even closer, I thought. There's like two riders who are about 40, 46 seconds back.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's like, I don't know. I personally feel they've been given a gap, but that's not going to stay by the end.
Yeah, but a guy like Kemna, he can, if he's 11 minutes, he will lose some on the climb, but he won't lose that much.
Yeah, there are so strong climbers in the front group, so yeah, you'd better not give them 11 minutes at the bottom of
at the bottom.
But if they are at the bottom, yeah, maybe with 5-6 minutes, that should do it. But it depends on how tired they are and how the peloton is at the moment.
And I don't know if we mentioned it, and apologies if we did, but there was Ravinelli from Drone Hopper trying to make the break, and is now stuck, kind of.
Yeah. I think he's between the 11 minutes of the peloton and the front group, so I don't know where he's at the moment.
Land.
Yeah.
First cycling have him down as 6 minutes 48 back from the lead rider.
Paul Led.
He's not getting there.
Is anyone with him? Is he completely alone?
He's
just
alone.
Himself.
Oh, I pity him.
I think he's just chilling, waiting for the peloton to come back. It's too late now.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if we mentioned it, but Mathieu and Biniam attacked at some points in at the start of the race. I don't know if they were trying to come back on the breakaway, but it was a nice image to see on TV with the Maglia Rossa and Ciclamino attacking on Italian roads.
They will probably put it in the highlights one day.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, Van Sevenant is the closest on GC. He's 43 seconds down. And, yeah, it's. I think he's too good a rider that they'll let him just waltz into pink, to be honest.
Yeah, it's up to Alpecin and Phoenix. Yeah, either they will fight for the Maglia Rossa till the end, and then they will come back on the breakaway. Or they don't mind giving up the Maglia Rossa, but I don't see them give it up that easily on the Maglia Rossa for Mathieu.
But question, would they really want to invest so much when they want to target sprints with Maresco? Or maybe they decide to go for Thunderbolt tomorrow and the day after? I mean, they will lose it anyways at some point.
Yeah, I think it's up to Alpecin. I think they will chase in the valley, and then they'll see at the bottom of Etna what's the gap and what's how are the GC contenders, what are the strategies, and I think they'll see later in the race, but they will reduce the gap over the breakaway for sure.
Will they though? Because they've got old Arnie up there.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I'm Alpecin, why would I want to invest? Better to lose this jersey on Etna, that's a stage everyone is watching, everyone will see it, probably not that many people will watch tomorrow. You have Oldani in the break, and you can save energy for the sprint stages.
Big disappointment, so yeah, it's for Nibali now.
Yeah, certainly from looking at First Cycling's race center, which I find incredibly useful, it seems like Ineos might be just pacing the peloton and keeping things, keeping a lid on it, really, making sure that.
Ineos is at the front with Bahrain Victorious and Movistar following. I don't know why, but Movistar.
they're always there. They're always like the third team on a mountain stage.
I mean, if Alpecin truly had wanted to defend the jersey, they could have put Van der Poel on the break. I mean, the GC teams would have let him go. He will lose anyways in the mountains, in the two mountains.
I think he tried, like he did at the Tour de France last year, to go in the breakaway with the leader's jersey. Would have been nice to do it on the second Grand Tour, but we'll see what happens in 100 kilometers.
Exactly. Yeah. Then who are our picks? Given that we now have the breakaway established, we now know about Lopez, like, who are we saying gets the stage win today?
Kemna.
Okay, Mathieu?
I predicted Sylvain Moniquet, but looking at the breakaway, I think Saramae or Kamna are the best riders for a breakaway win today.
Yeah, I put Holmes, and I was like, I got excited when I saw he attacked earlier, but that sort of stopped. I think the break makes it doing it like one or two hang on. And why not? When Lopez has left the race, how about Juanpe Lopez takes the win?
Yeah, that's a good pick. And also, for the nice story, Lilian Calmejan is in the break and could complete his Grand Tour trilogy of wins on the Vuelta, Tour and Giro.
That would be nice.
Yeah, at the top of the Etna, yeah.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Oh. I'm still annoyed that I didn't put Tarame Bathirt down in the prediction sheet yesterday. I was like, it's either Tarame or Hirt.
Yeah, like same for Lotto. Peter chose Holmes and I chose Moniquet, and it was either one of them. Glad I got the good one today. But
yeah. Well, we'll see you at the end.
Yeah,
then. Till later.
So, back to me to call it home. Situation now with 40k to go, the front group 7 minutes up the road, and one of those men would ride himself into pink. That group, Calmejan, Aldani, Conti, Kamna, Rochas, Vilea, Camargo, Feta, Tarame, Catford, Limorese, Moniquet, Van Sevenot, and Juan Pedro Lopez. After the first intermediate sprint in Paterno, Stefano Aldani of Bora Hansgrohe went alone, and he was clear come the second intermediate in Biancavilla, just 10k later, at the base of the classified segment of Mount Etna. The group behind him splintering on the early slopes, though six of them were able to stick together as the chasers, that's Tarame, Kamna, Moniquet, Lemreze, Van Sevenot and Lopez, but Aldani was opening up a gap north of 45 seconds. Halfway up that climb, 12k from the top, Lopez began an attack to get across to Aldani, getting the gap quickly down to under 20 seconds, as the other five riders were 20 behind him. Lopez then soon joining Aldani, and then dropped the Alpecin Fenix rider. Van Sevenot was pulling in the chasers, Kamna and Moniquet able to stick with him, and then Kamna went 6k out. Tarame briefly lost the wheel, but he got back over to the chasers, but Kamna was already off hunting down Lopez. Under the Flamme Rouge, Kamna with Lopez set tight on his wheel now, and into the final turns. One last corner, a tight left, Lopez overcooking it, tried to come under Kamna and dive up the inside, and having to brake check himself, losing a valuable 20 metres on the Bora Hansgrohe man, and Leonard Kamna left clear to claim his sixth professional win and a second Grand Tour stage. Juan Pedro Lopez second for Trek Segafredo, and riding himself into the Maglia Rosa, as he had a 43 second advantage over Kamna at the start of the day. Behind those two, only Rein Tarame could stay within sight. He came home a solo third for Intermarché, as Sylvain Moniquet and Maury Van Sevenot lost over 2 minutes to the winners on the final few kilometres. Gilles Lemreze was sixth, and then the GC group all came home at 2:37. Richard Carapaz winning the kick for seventh, and then Roman Bardet, Pello Bilbao and João Almeida rounded out the top 10. That group also containing Landa, Valverde, Ciccone, Arendsman, Hindley, Port, Kelderman, Hamilton, Sosa, Buitrago, Buchmann, Yates and Carthy. Van der Poel rolling home with his Alpecin teammates, almost 23 minutes down. The last man home today with a Quick-Step group of Morkel, Seri and Van Lerberg, all looking after Mark Cavendish. 175 starters, 173 finishers, Jakub Moresco and Miguel Angel Lopez, the day's abandonments. Van der Poel will keep hold of Maglia Ciclamino for another day at least. He has a 7-point lead over Binyon Girmay, 9 over Cavendish. Leonard Kamna is the new King of the Mountains, so he'll be in Maglia Azzurra. Juan Pedro is the Maglia Blanco, but he'll lend that to Mori van Sevenant for tomorrow's fifth stage, one for the sprinters. It's 174k from Catania to Messina, the home of two-time Giro winner Vincenzo Nibali. There's just one classified climb, that starts 55k in, with the 20k long 4% Portella Mandrazzi. But down from the other side, it's a flat 75k to the line. And now to some domestic action with round 3 of the SportsBreak.com Tour Series, held tonight in Sunderland. Pro Noctis Rota and Wiv Sungod leading the competition, with both teams taking the maximum 20 available points after the rounds in Geesborough and Gala Shields. Here's our Peter with how tonight's women's race played out.
Tour Series hits Sunderland now for round 3. There's a 1.3-kilometre circuit that just went around Mowbray Park. It looked very interesting. Had a slight rise on the outward bend, or outward loop, I guess, or leg, however you want to term it. On the way out past the start-finish line, it went slightly uphill and then turned into a downhill background by the time you got to the finish. Looks quite interesting. A lot of teams were very depleted this week, so some of them, like AWOL, only had one rider. That was future interview guest Autumn Collins, Irish champion. So, you know, some teams were struggling for numbers for some reason. Not all of them made the trip. I think Torelli didn't even send a team, which led to an interesting dynamic in the race. Pro Noctis obviously have the lead in the team's competition. And to my discredit, I have not seen the results of the team part. So someone else will have to insert that here. However, in the actual race, it was the normal sort of war of attrition, riders just going off the back slowly and whittling down. That's normally what happens. Then in the middle phase of the race, a group of two riders go away. That's Charlotte Berry and I believe her name is Suzette Guarini, who is remarkably 54 years old doing the Tour Series. And I'll be honest, the gear she's pushing makes my knees crumble in pain just watching her, so I have no idea what she's going through. I certainly won't be doing that when I'm 54, I'll tell you that for free. However, those two had a bit of a lead and then were joined by another two, Sammy Stewart of the Brother LDN team, followed by Frankie Hall of the Loughborough Lightning team, again another future interview guest. That awesome foursome really worked well together, combined, and we're going pretty well. Unfortunately, a mishap occurred for Charlotte Berry, and she, I believe, was out of a race. I must be honest, I missed that bit, so I'm not fully au fait with that. Apologies, folks. However, it led a trio, which means everyone gets on the podium as long as they work together, you know, all in the top three. That sometimes helps. With two laps to go, Sammy Stewart puts the pressure on that little drag on the outward leg. And Suzette Guarini just cracks. She just can't keep up. Frankie Hall stays, though. And the two of them work together until the bell lap. At the bell lap, Frankie's leading it out. And you think, okay, if she can just stick on it on the hill, we're in for a shootout. But Sammy Stewart goes, no, I don't want to wait for the sprint. I'm going to go now. Goes on the hill. And you see the gap slowly. And Frankie Hall's digging in. And you think, oh, maybe she'll stay. She's just close enough. And the elastic stretches and stretches. And then snaps. And suddenly 10 metres become 20, become 30. And it's a downhill part where, you know, it's kind of the speed differential between the two is not going to be as stark. And Sammy Stewart just solos it, as you would expect someone to do who came I believe, 4th at Guisborough by soloing it. You know, she just rode away. Frankie still got a second place and very creditable, and Suzette got third. And all of them at one stage had a chance of becoming a sort of new winner. None of them had won a round of a Tour Series before, so it was amazing to see those three get up in the mix and some fresh faces. And all in all, a very enjoyable race, to be honest.
In the men's event, Blake Quick of Trinity took the win after his teammate and American national champion Luke Lamperti graciously gifted him the victory on the line. But a third place for Finn Crockett of Ribble Weltite was the catalyst to give them enough points to take the team win, with Sudgod still lead the competition. They're on 28, Ribble are on 24, Wales Racing Academy on 23. Next up is Stranraer on Thursday for round 4 of 7. Staying with domestic action, congratulations to Luke Lamperti and to Becky Story of Cams Basso for their wins in the opening round of the National Road Series at Lincoln Grand Prix on Sunday. Some other races we didn't cover in any depth over the weekend. Philippe Gilbert won the GC at Quatre Jours de Dunkerque, Ollie Nason second, Jake Stewart third. Olivier Barrault of Valcar Travelling Service won Gran Premio Ciudad de Eibar. Romain Grégoire of FDJ Continental won Flèche Ardennais. Lennart van Eetveld of Lotto Soudal was second, Tom Gloag of Trinity third. Tom van der Werf took the win in the bunch finish at Grand Prix Bob Jungels Juniors. Emil Herzog took the GC win at the Peace Race in the Czech Republic. And in off-road news, Tom Pidcock and Rebecca McConnell took the XCO Elite wins at the UCI Mountain Bike World Cup round in Albstadt, Germany. Right, tomorrow we'll be back as the Tour of Hungary gets underway. Jakobsen, Lutsenko, Coy, Viviani, Groenewegen, Seneschal and Pollitt all standing out on the start list there. We'll see you then. Goodbye. You've been listening to Quicklink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at Quicklink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.